This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wake up, Atlanta. This is the morning shift. I'm Squidbilly Bo Morgan. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson.
Ayo.
Dylan's around here somewhere, running around with like a chicken with his head cut off, and we got Day-Day on the ones and twos back there at the moment.
Hey, Day-Day's ready to shoot up tonight. I noticed that just early. Hey, he's ready to go.
Did you say shoot up?
No, he's ready to suit up, man.
Suit up.
He's ready to hit lead off.
I was like, man, they're not that kind of show, Michael.
Hey, he might be in the two hole, man. He's got the jersey on. He's got the world champion jersey on.
Yeah, almost. I love it, man. I think it has the gold trim on the letters too. I mean, that's World Series bound right there.
Hey, man, that's what I'm talking about,
dude.
That's a well-made shirt too. That ain't no screen print. Like that's straight up threads.
It is a hell of a sports day.
Let's go.
Because yes, the MLB might have opened the season like last Tuesday in Japan or whatever, with the Dodgers and the Cubs. But opening day in Atlanta is today, not in the city, but for the city, as our Braves take on the Padres this afternoon. I believe first pitch is at 4:39 this afternoon.
4:05, maybe?
No, I think it's 4:39. I mean, you can double check. I mean, you know, let's. I said it to you to check me, not to guess more time on. And then Sweet 16s tonight, right? Got a couple of number one seeds playing. Oh, Florida plays tonight against Maryland out in San Francisco. More West Coast action. That'll be like a 4:30 game. But
we're both wrong, Bo. It's 4:10.
All right, 4:10. You know what I think it is? I think Florida's tip is 7:39 tonight, and I think I got my next 4:39 West Coast. But anyways, I don't want to give out more wrong information. I'll sound like other people on the radio station. But anyways, we got that, and we got Sweet 16. There's some transactional things that happen with the Falcons, but these are the days that we live for, that when I wake up, I'm like, man, there's so much to talk about. How are we going to spread it out in a mere 3 hours? Because you got other days where you're going, I got to stretch this because there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
And you really can get yourself off in the weeds. But today's the day we got to kind of stay on point, Michael, because we have so much to go through.
Yeah, we do. And, I was talking to one of my buddies the other day, and he's like, man, I just wish, like, the NIT would just take over this lull in the middle of the week, you know what I mean? Or the college basketball invitational or whatever it may be, because you go through the 4 days of the men's tournament last weekend and you get to Monday and the women's games are on. There's no really compelling storylines with that Organically,
especially
that is.
Especially not with Juju going
right
down.
Right, and so that's what I mean organically. Like, to start off with, there's no really compelling storylines of the women's tournament. The women's tournament's one of those tournaments that it feels like the favorites always win. So not a lot of eyeballs on that this year. And so you look at it and you're like, man, these other postseason tournaments you almost wish would fill in the blanks, because it does. Like, you're kind of – and you guys know I'm a wagerer, man. I pulled off an incredible comeback last week, by the way, ding. But it's almost like you're itching your neck. Like, give me that opening day, man. Give me that March Madness. And look, man, it's a beautiful thing. And so I agree with you. We're going to talk about a couple of the Atlanta Falcons transactional notes throughout the show. But the highlights of today will be – opening day with the Atlanta Braves. Got a lot of cuts. Alex Anthopoulos was on the station last night visiting with John Fricke.
Yeah, he gave John Fricke his flowers last night. I love it. He basically at that one point in the interview was just, you know, John's the first one that'll tell you that he's been doing this for 40 plus years. Yep. And he has. He's been all over the country doing this. But, you know, he's been on this radio station even when he part-time as one of the early birds at the radio station. And so he's been on the airwaves. And you know, it's great because Alex Anthopoulos is driving around listening to our station, driving around listening to John Fricke. And that's how Fricke got him. He wanted to come on and join John and talk some baseball with him. So we got some stuff from that we'll play later. And, you know, Chipper Jones was on the station yesterday with the Steakhouse. We're going to get to some of that. I think John Smoltz joined Dukes and Bell at some point in the show. So all these guys are either
ramping up,
like directly affiliated with the organization right now, or Hall of Fame players that are. I mean, John Smoltz is the, you know, calls World Series games.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the best announcer in baseball as far as analysts go.
And analysts. And Alex Anthopoulos.
I got you,
Alex Anthopoulos. You jump started yourself though. You know what I mean? You're like analysts.
Yeah, well, at least I mean, I had to beat you to the punch.
Give us a pause.
I had to
give us a one count.
Nah, you know what I mean? Quick trigger.
Anyways, I thought some of the comments that Alex Anthopoulos made last night to John Fricke were really interesting, and we'll get into that. About a conversation he had in the training room with Yerkson Profar, I thought that was just incredible to hear. A lot of good cuts, honestly, coming from that interview last night, so we'll talk about a little bit of that as well. Shout out to, what is it, Michigan State, Ole Miss, and, you know, most of the Auburn fans probably already live here, but that are in town for the regional, you know, for the Sweet 16. So that'll be fun to kind of keep track of over the next couple of days as those teams kind of kick it, those fan bases kind of kick it around Atlanta. And also shout out to them for, and we're going to get into this coming up at the 640 segment. Shout out to Atlanta for actually using a basketball court for this. I was looking at the Lucas Oil Stadium stuff up in Indianapolis. Like, really? For the Sweet 16? Like, and I know, and I think Lucas Oil is actually hosting the Final Four next year. So, but I gotta gripe with that. I don't like seeing that in the Sweet 16. But nonetheless, man, I did want to ask you. Dan Hurley comes out. I know you went in on Dan Hurley earlier in the week, and I can't remember the name of his SID.
I think it's like Bob Mullen or something like that.
Bobby Mullen. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Bobby. Yeah,
they both came out and independently kind of apologized. Bobby Mullen, more of an apology. What did you think of Dan Hurley? Did you hear any of his words?
I have not heard Dan Hurley's apology.
Okay.
But hold on.
It was a sorry but. It was a sorry but.
It's funny that you said that because I was watching it's not sports related. There was something that a video popped up on my Twitter feed today, and someone was apologizing for something that had happened. And they said, I am sorry, I was wrong. And then it's like, pause. But people are blowing this out of proportion. And then it was a 2-minute video. A minute 50 of it was blaming everyone else for sensationalizing a horrific mistake. And I was just like,
my wife says I do this.
This is so 2020. You do sometimes.
My wife says I do this. And I know that you do it definitely Amy. There's no doubt in my mind.
I apologize, and they're not telling me what my thought
you
process
made me do this.
Was.
I am sorry, but you made me do this.
No, I don't know what I did. I go, but what I was thinking, I try to explain myself, and I've gotten better at it because I'm like, you know, it doesn't help me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is one of those deals where if you're going to, Dylan, this will help you as well, because you're younger, but you're also in a blossoming relationship. You're not married yet. You're not engaged yet. That's to come probably next year when you go to the Eagles home opener or season opener. And because I know it'll be on a Thursday night. But there are so many times, especially in relationships, marriages or significant other relationships, where you just, you can't explain it right then. You just, and sometimes you never are allowed to explain it. You just have to fall on that sword all the way through.
And
then allow your partner to kind of like slowly pull it out so it really hurts.
Yeah.
And then walk away as like a beaten.
You got to wait till their tension kind of goes down a little bit. And then like 2 days later, you can be like, well, what I was trying to say really in that moment was, this is how I feel. You know what I mean? But I didn't do a good job of expressing that. You know what I mean? So there you go. There's your relationship advice 101 today on the morning shift.
All right. Let's get to this Falcon news. Because it's what everybody has kind of been waiting for. You asked a question about why we're just now hearing this news, and I think I gave an intelligent answer.
Well,
but
hang
on, Falcons have been
you gave an intelligent answer, but that really wasn't my. It wasn't an actual question. It was like a man. Why does it have to come out like
well,
this?
Well, because
why do we have to do this every single time?
So we all knew that the team restructured Jake Matthews' contract. They extended him, is what I should say. They actually extended Jake Matthews, and it cleared up $8.5 million of cap space. I've actually known that number for a while. I think I've said that number before because I was told that number. I asked, and I was told by someone in the know. But they've also announced that basically with Chris Lindstrom and A.J. Terrell, they converted salary into bonuses. A.J. Terrell had $12.5 million of his salary was converted into a bonus. That saved $10 million, and Chris Lindstrom had $12.5 million of his salary converted into a bonus, also saving the team $10 million. So the team saved $28.5 million with all three moves combined, not counting the Grady Jarrett money. That's going to total around $12 million. I believe 11.9 to be exact.
Yes.
So for those of you doing accounting, the rookie class will cost them somewhere between 6 to 9 from my calculations, maybe a little bit less since they only have a first, second, fourth, I believe, and then 2 sevens.
Spotrac put out their figure for what they believe the Falcons will need for their current draft picks if they stayed where they're at, and it was 5.4. So you're right there in the ballpark. Yeah, 5.4 million. And granted, most of that's your first and second rounder, right? So and when you look and you push it back to the 2 seventh rounders, you don't even know. Like, you don't even know. The seventh rounders, you don't even know if they're going to be on the roster, right? So you kind of push that figure around. You can bump it. I would be shocked, given everything we know, if the Falcons stayed with the five picks they have. I think they're going to do everything in their power, everything possible to be able to move things around and find other draft picks somewhere in the draft. I don't know if it'll be the first round or dropping back, but somewhere in the draft, and the first rounder is the one with the most value.
I could see them trying to do something, including maybe tinkering with a pick next year to get 2 second-round picks. I could see that. And the reason I think that is I don't disagree with the fact that they might try to trade back in the first round this year and then find their way with a Walter Nolan or a Mike Green or, J.D. Barron or Will Johnson or even maybe Malachi Starks or Nick Emenwari. But I think that's kind of where part of it goes. So I don't disagree with that. But still, even if that, let's just say they traded their fourth and a next year's third to get back in the second round. I don't know what it's going to cost. I'm just throwing out picks, right? I still don't think that that number is going to be too much over 5.4. I think, and then it might be like 6.4. Might be $1 million difference at the most.
Right, and you're still messing around with $6 million of space as it sits right now.
Yeah, and look, this Falcons salary cap update has been brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. That's PADLYBuys.com. PadleyBuys.com.
Yeah, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Braves opening day. Alex Anthopoulos visited with John Fricke last night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the conversation he had with Yrieksen Profar. If you didn't hear this, you are not going to want to miss what Yrieksen Profar had to say. One of the biggest differences is between the Braves and this Padres team that he was playing for last year. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight. You can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 6:23 almost here on the Morning Shift. Mikey P. Johnson and Squid Billy hanging out with you here on this Thursday morning, this action-packed Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Like I said last segment, shout-out to all the Michigan Staters, the Barners, like we call them, over in Tuscaloosa, the Ole Miss Rebels fans that are in town for the Sweet 16 part of the March Madness. That'll be fun to kind of cover throughout the day. We'll get some preview stuff coming up on that at 6:40. We also got Keith Law joining us later on in the show to discuss opening day, Braves baseball. He thinks the Braves are going to go pretty far, so that'll be fun to kind of catch up with him. And, you know, we'll get some Braves stuff throughout the show because it is opening day. They are opening out in San Diego. If you don't remember, the Braves finished their season last year in San Diego at Petco Park, and it wasn't pretty.
No, it wasn't. But in fairness,
kind of back where that started.
This isn't one of those deals, though, where the NFL makes sure it happens. Remember, like, when the Eagles won the 17 Super Bowl and the Falcons lost in the divisional round of them in Philadelphia, and then the home opener every year for the NFL is the World Series, the Super Bowl champion at home on Thursday night with somebody, and usually an opponent that's either good or one that they've had some kind of, you know, big game with, a rivalry or whatever. And so the Falcons, we opened the 18 season and on a Thursday night in Philadelphia, and the game almost ended identical, right?
Yeah.
This isn't that scenario. But for whatever reason, baseball announces their schedule for the next season September or August the year before. So in other words, I'm not saying they didn't do this to have a wild card rematch to open the year.
No, I agree with you on that.
It's correct.
I want to make sure that I cover myself here with you before I ask you this question, because I'm not trying to get you in a gotcha moment. But I think this says a lot about where this team is this year. We'll hear from Alex Anthopoulos in just a second. I want to get to the story he was telling about talking to Yerkson Profar in the training room. And that's going to be really interesting. But here's what I want to ask you, because your Braves knowledge to me is second to none at this station, and I'll give you credit for that. You know Braves' current history. You know Braves' past history. You know everything going on with the team.
You're definitely setting me up to fail now.
If I asked you if you could name two-thirds of the lineup and where they hit against the Padres in game one of this series last postseason, do you think you could put the right names in the right places? I'm not even sure if you can name all two-thirds of the actual players.
You got to remember, because Austin Riley was out. Obviously, Ronnie was out. I don't know. That would be tough, because I think we forget that A.J. Smith-Shawver, if I'm not mistaken, started game one.
He was the starter for game one, Didn't have a great outing, but yeah, he was the game one starter.
And I would dare to say that Travis called him.
Travis Darno was the catcher.
Let's see. I know that Ozuna was a DH, and he was probably fourth or fifth in the lineup. I would probably go with four.
He was in the three hole.
Three hole, okay.
Yep.
So then Olson was in the four hole?
That's right.
And was Michael Harris leading off?
That is right.
And then you had Ozzie at two?
That's correct. So Harris, Albies, Ozuna, Olsen, 1-4 to start. And yes, you're right. AJ Smith-Shawver was pitching.
Okay. So, God, what did we do with our, because I know towards the end of the year, Kelnick was not playing as much, but I would dare to say, he was in left. Is that wrong?
Incorrect.
Okay, who was our outfield then? Now I'm
dude, and this is my point asking the question. I'm not trying to catch you in a gotcha moment, but you want to talk about a banged up team. When you go back and look, because Michael King is starting tonight against the Braves. He's the same guy that started against them in game one of the playoff series last year. And I went to try to look back at the matchups of how Michael King fared. He had a great night. 8 strikeouts.
Yeah, we were. I don't think
we were terrible at the plate.
I don't think we scored a run all game, did we?
No,
didn't
it was
we lose
a shutout.
Didn't we lose like because AJ got kind of hammered early, but then the game kind of settled in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Michael King gave up 5 hits in 7 innings pitched against the Braves in game one, and had 12 Ks. So I'm going to go ahead and go through this so we can get the Alex Anthopoulos cut. But here's what your lineup was. Michael Harris leading off. Ozzie Albies at second base. Marcell Ozuna at DH. Matt Olson at first. Here's where you might have misremembered or had some fuzziness. Jorge Soler starting in right field in the 5-hole.
Yeah,
he actually got pinch ran for him by Eli White at some point in the game. How about left field was Ramon Laureano hitting in the 6th hole. You were right, Travis d'Arnaud at catcher in the 7-hole. How about this for your third baseman? Gio Urshela at third base in the 8-hole, and then, of course, Orlando Arcia hitting in the 9-slot. So if Michael King, because I saw this from a couple of San Diego outlets, if Michael King squares off against the same Braves team he shut down to finish last season, no, it's not. They ain't even close. And we don't have Ronald Acuna back. But, you know, on the flip side of that, one of the pieces that was on their side was Yurickson Profar. And I want to get to this cut. Alex Anthopoulos visited with John Fricke last night, and John did a great job in this interview, and he asked Alex Anthopoulos about the mindset around this team and how this group is coming together.
I ask a lot of players that come from the outside that have been on winning teams, you know, how do we compare? What is it like? What do you see? And I'm not looking for compliments by any stretch, just an honest, candid, organic conversation. And I was with Profar on one of the night games in the training room, and he was there. He's just rehabbing his wrist and getting ready to play in a few days at that time. And I said, I'm just curious, you came from a really good clubhouse that's winning a lot of games and so on. I said, what do you notice about our place? What do you think? He said, and it wasn't a criticism of anybody else, he said, what I've noticed is this team is really together. The entire team is together. And he put his hands together like in a lock form. And a lot of times you'll have cliques, right? The Latin players will hang out with the Latin players, the Americans and so on, or, you know, the position players, the relievers hang out and so on. And that's what you strive for as a GM. You want to have harmony. You want to have unity.
Yeah, that's exactly what you strive for as a GM. Harmony. Unity, but you also strive to have good baseball players that want to be around one another. And, you know, we've got some Chipper Jones stuff from a couple days ago. He visited with the Steakhouse. His conversations with Yurickson Profar as well about the big smile on Yurickson's face. We've all seen it in the YouTube series. Anybody that's ever followed Profar and really the kind of guy he is, a lot like a Marcell Ozuna. You know, I think we all saw cuts of Yurickson Profar when he was young, and I'm drawing a blank, Adrian Beltre, that he would, you know, hang out with Adrian Beltre, and they'd be laughing and smiling and cutting up and doing those things. So I think it's interesting to hear that from Alex Anthopoulos, man, about the mindset of this team and just how much he feels like this team is gelled together.
It reminds me, because that's kind of what I felt like the 21 team was, is they were, and I'm not doing any of that. I'm just saying that's a team that we remember how well they played together, and they had, and that was a team too that had a lot of injuries. We talk about the lineup you just went through. You forget as much as we talk about Ronald Acuna Jr. and a direct result of the Braves' success and needing him, he was out during the pennant run of 21, and he wasn't on this team. But you remember how you had two strong leaders on that team and Freddie and Dansby Swanson, and that's just position player leaders. You know, there's no doubt that Charlie Morton and Max Fried were leaders in
four one out.
And then you had the night shift on that team with Matzik and Luke Jackson and Will Smith and what's my my AJ mentor, like, so that team had cliques that were all one big group as well. Like, they were like, it was like a big group with like end of like little sections of it, but they were all for one. Not saying you didn't have that in recent, but I did question the 22 team and who was, you know, I remember that Dansby took over for Fred, for Freddie, and then 23, it kind of, they were so good, but again, who would, I don't, once Dansby was on, who was the leader on that team? And then last year, you saw this team struggle with so many injuries, and I don't know who the leader was. And so the fact that they're already there, I think that's a really, really good place for this team.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and get to this cut as well. John Fricke last night visiting with Alex Anthopoulos. He said, hey, look, man, kind of need Ronnie's bat in the lineup. How soon can we expect him back?
Yeah, I would say Ronald at this point, I don't think you're going to see April. So I haven't ever announced that anywhere or said anything, but I think with where we're at now, that doesn't mean it can't be, you know, early May, you know, but I don't think you're going to see a return with April in that date. But and I don't, you know, he's playing in games in Florida on extended, getting plenty of at-bats. I'm getting box scores daily. He needs to get cleared to do outfield work. I think once he gets cleared to do that and really step on it and being able to chase balls down, run the braces aggressively and do all those things that they feel like the foundation is there, he'll then transition at some point to a rehab assignment. And at that point, I don't expect it to be long because he'll have had at-bats and it won't be about getting his timing. It'll just be about getting his legs strong enough to play nine innings in the field multiple days in a row.
Couple things. First of all, I was sad when I initially heard that, but then I was also like, all right, we're good. Like, I don't need Ronnie to rush back. Second thing is, I had not even considered that his timing with his bat was going to be well ahead of where he's at as far as a fielder goes, because it's like he just mentioned, he's going to be taking at-bats. He can drive off of his legs and do all the things you need to do in the batter's box. It's just base running and cutting and accelerating and doing all the things you need to do in the outfield and on the base pass. So good news, bad news, I guess, for Ronald Acuna, but don't rush the guy back. We've been here before. Make sure that he's fully healthy by the time he hits that lineup.
Well, I think we talked about what Snitker said a couple of days ago in the Steakhouse, and I kind of said when I heard Snitker talking, it sounds like let's have him by June, the way Snitker talked about it. Yeah. You just read between the lines. Yeah, he can't come back and be the DH because you have unless Marcelo Ozuna gets off to a really slow start, because Ozuna's been the best DH in baseball the last 2 years. But, yeah, it takes a we forget how much it takes on these guys when they're playing the outfield and they're running across the field. You know, they're doing those things coupled with these at bats and everything. It's a big deal for these guys, and I think it was probably one of the things that really limited Ronald Acuna the first time he came back from ACL. I have no issues the way they're treating this, because we know this is a team that can make a run late and still find their way into the postseason. So, I mean, it sounds silly, but I'm with you. Take as much time as he needs.
Yeah.
All right. Got to get to break. But, look, coming up next, this is a huge next 2 days for the SEC, and it all gets kicked off tonight. We'll tell you why on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Morning Shift. Bo Morgan alongside Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson.
Yo!
That music sounds different but the same. Like, I know that's the CBS March Madness music, but it sounds a little bit different. What's your favorite sports theme of all time?
Oh, gosh,
because there's this, the March Madness theme. There's the Masters theme. There is college football CBS.
Yeah,
sports
the CBS
theme.
Sports college football.
What is it, baseball?
Old school Monday Night Football. Are you ready for some football
but
Hank?
Yeah, but that's an opening. I mean, like, the theme, like, coming in and out of, like, that.
Monday,
like,
Night Football's got a theme.
There's the ESPN Baseball Tonight has
one.
Oh,
dude.
The NBC.
Somebody went in and did a background video of Baseball Tonight Studios a couple of weeks ago and put it on Instagram, and it was the most nostalgic thing I think I've seen in years.
The NBA on NBC, which Dave Archer has as his ringtone. So if you ever sit next to Arch and you hear, like, the NBA.
Random?
The NBA on NBC is one of the most classic sports theme songs of all time. John Tesh.
I agree. I just meant
John
for Arch.
Tesh wrote it. For goodness sake. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess you think it's random that a former NFL quarterback has that on there, but he's a sports. He really is. You talk about a guy that wants to talk sports, like knows sports, like is it in just kind of immersed in sport. Arch, you can talk really anything with Arch. He'll tell you, no, I'm not really followed that. But then you kind of ask one question. He's a huge college basketball fan.
Yeah, I love talking shop with Dave Archer. There's no doubt about it.
But I think the NBA and NBC might be one of my that old theme, which I think they're bringing back, or they're trying to now that they've got some games, and maybe even Amazon might use it too. I think I heard that it might kind of let them use some of it, but I know that theme song is coming back. But yeah, dude, John Tesh, and it's weird because when someone told me that John Tesh wrote the theme, I go, but I thought but he's a Entertainment Tonight host because he used to do that show. Mm-hmm. Entertainment Tonight is the host, but anyways, he's also a famous musician and pianist or whatever.
Well, speaking of, because my answer was going to be the CBS Sports College Football. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about that in terms of games I've played in being big games. What did you make of the news yesterday? And we're going to get to March Madness in a second. The news yesterday that Charles Davis will be taking over for Gary Danielson in a couple of years. Friend of the show, Charles Davis, by the way. Ding. And he'll be part of that college football booth. It hurts me a little bit because I'm actually a bigger fan of Gary than probably 99% of the people who listen to this show.
Definitely a bigger fan than I am.
Yeah, that's a hard job to do, man. Gary does it about as well as you can do it, but there is something, the fact that, you know, Vern's been retired a couple of years now, and now Gary Danielson will be headed out of the boot after this year. And not only that, but you don't have the SEC on CBS the way you used to. It's a new era of college football, and little by little, things that I was used to, you know, 15 years ago are being kind of plucked away.
Yeah, I'm not as big of it's. There's so, this is going to sound really weird. I enjoy his voice when I watch college football is comforting for me because I've heard that voice for so long. Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, and he annoys me at times the way he talks over at times, like the refs at times when they're trying to do a call to talk over maybe Ness sometimes. We had this conversation about somebody else last night in one of our fantasy leagues that were in the group chat. I've grown to be very indifferent on Gary Danielson.
Interesting.
I don't think that he hates your team like everybody. You know, everybody thinks he only likes Alabama and Georgia, and he hates everybody else. And then Georgia fans even think that he hates Georgia. I don't think any of that. I enjoy the voice because that's a voice I've listened to for years. So it's comforting when I hear guys that I've listened to for years. Brad Nessler is absolutely my favorite play-by-play guy that's doing it right now.
He is good.
At one point in time, it was Keith Jackson. At one point in time, it was Vern. Brad has grown in because not only do I know Brad, I know how great of a human being he is, but I think he's really good, and I've also heard his voice for so long. I would tell you that Charles Davis is one of my, I guess I've said, oh, I love everybody, but I like Charles Davis. You know him on a personal level. He's a phenomenally great dude.
Yep.
I think Charles will be better on college football because the passion of the game is so much. It's so much easier to get kind of that invested, kind of that emotional of the college game to me than pros.
Yeah.
Mainly because the pro game is just, it's a business and you know it. Now, college is turning into that.
I was going to say, if that's what he's looking for, he's probably hitting it at the wrong time.
But that said, I think Brad Nessler will be, to me, probably the best play-by-play guy that Charles Davis has worked with and can work with, and I think it's going to make Charles so good.
Yeah, he'll bring out the best.
I think Charles is already good, but I think, like you said, bring out the best. And sometimes you work with people that take you to another level, not only because of who they are, but there can be a chemistry. I love the fact that hopefully it sounds like he'll be paired with Ness. I think that is great for Charles Davis. So I'm happy for him.
I do too. I think it'll be a lot of fun to pay attention to that.
All right, it's a big night for both of our college teams because they both have Sweet 16. So by about the time the Braves game is wrapping up and about the time MGA will be wrapping up tonight for me because it's week one of the preseason in MGA, Alabama will be tipping off against BYU 7:09. They get the CBS game. And then right after that, I'm just going to go tell the two early games. About 30 minutes later on TBS, Florida will tip off against Maryland. I think Florida has the tougher draw in these two early night matchups on tonight. But what's your confidence level? Alabama versus BYU and the Tater Tot Boy or whatever they're calling.
Yeah, if you guys have not heard this story, Richie Saunders is his name. His, I guess, grandfather was one of the co-founders of Orida, the Tater Tot company. So essentially, they're kind of saying that he, you know, helped invent the Tater Tot. And Orida has renamed, I guess through NIL deal, has renamed their company for the next, you know, 72 hours, Or Richie. And he is a, you know, forward for BYU. So, yeah, that's confidence? No. And I think I speak for every Alabama fan out there that this has been a basketball team that over the years, now it's different than Nate Oates, and there is a level of confidence just because of that. But this is a basketball team that usually in big games lets you down. It just is. And it's been that way for a long time. And so hopefully this is a, you know, you're turning a new leaf. I don't think Bama has ever made back-to-back Elite Eights, so that will be in the crosshairs. Nor has BYU, I'm pretty sure. I think Alabama, BYU, and as well as Tennessee are three of the teams that have never made back-to-back Elite Eights in their program history. So that'll be interesting to kind of catch up with. But confidence level, give me 65%. I'm not there. I will not be putting a month's paycheck on Bama and their futures bets to get to the Final Four. I'll just say it that way.
Well, you'd be giving up 5.5 points if you did.
Yeah. And really, there's no lines over the next couple of days that are out of hand. I think there's one game that's probably down to 3.5. I can't remember which one it is. But most of them are 8.5, 7.5, 9.5, something along those lines. So
the Miss State, a Miss State. The Ole Miss Michigan State game is down to 2.5 as Michigan State is the favorite there.
I think that's the tightest one. I think Kentucky Tennessee is also decently close. I think there was a 4.5 one.
4.5.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of looking at the confidence level here for me with Florida is the matchup predictor ESPN has at 61% Florida. I'm terrified because I Queen is feeling himself after the game winning shot. He's their guy. Now, Walter Clayton might be feeling himself a little bit.
I was going to say, he's going to be
All-American guard from Florida. I looked at, and I was texting with a buddy of mine who's he's a Purdue graduate, and he's actually, he went to grad school at Florida, and he's a Purdue graduate, but he hates the University of Florida for some reason. I'm not really sure why. He's got some issues. We won't get into him, but he's a Purdue grad. Purdue is the only team in the Sweet 16 that has all five of their starters they actually recruited. Have you seen?
I've seen the graph.
I think I sent it to y'all. It's quite intriguing, Mike, that, you know, this is where, I mean, it was where we're at in not only in college athletics, but basketball as a whole, the NIL is completely taken. Now, Michigan State has four. Duke has four. And let's see, BYU and Houston both have three. But you look at Florida. Florida has one starter in their starting five that they recruited. Auburn. Actually, I can't even tell which one is. Yes, no, Auburn has one.
I was going to say.
No, I can tell now because Auburn has one. But Auburn also has one of their a guy they recruited in the starting lineup for Texas Tech.
Bama does too. I can't remember where the other Bama player is at, but they have a guy that they recruited and signed and that played at Bama that's for another team as well.
Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah.
No, that can't be right.
Maybe it's Arkansas.
No, it's got to be. Hell, I can't tell.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't tell because there's.
Yeah,
get this. Bruce Pearl has four guys that he recruited starting. In the Sweet 16, two of them play for other teams. It is a absolute hot mess.
Can I give you a stat that blew my mind? I heard this, and I think this was Matt Norlander that had this. There was a stat going around. In 2011, in the Sweet 16, I'm sorry, in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, not the Sweet 16, when the opening round of the NCAA tournament, in 2011, 3% of the points scored that year were from transfer players. This year, it was like, I want to say he said it was 56%. 50, and I was actually surprised it wasn't higher. Let me say that one more time. 15 years ago, 3% of the points scored in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, 3% were from transfer players. This year, it was 56%.
I'm saying
it is insane. And the most shocking part was I couldn't believe it wasn't a bigger number. I was like, where's the 45% coming from that are actually scoring for the team that they signed with? I have no idea.
Well, it must be all Duke, BYU, Houston, Michigan State, and Purdue.
Duke's definitely, yeah.
I mean,
Duke's definitely up there. Anybody with a freshman, honestly.
It's crazy how, you know, you look at Rick Barnes, when he's in at Tennessee, all the guys he's got. I think I said Bruce Pearl earlier, but I didn't mean that. You know, Bruce Pearl's got some guys spread out. I just thought it was a crazy number. How it's turned the sport on its head. And it goes along with the stat that we kept hearing. How many times did we hear, Florida hadn't played a tournament game. And I saw multiple posts says, Florida looks to target so-and-so transfer guard. I saw a stat, there's like 1,200 college basketball players in the portal right now.
It's insane.
1,200.
It's insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, we got to go to break. Hey, it's opening day for the Atlanta Braves. We'll continue to follow along with that. Also, March Madness stuff coming up. We'll also get Keith Law later in the show to talk about Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves projections, and all that kind of stuff. When we come back, though, Bo has stood on the mountaintops and screamed it. This Braves team will go with a six-man rotation. Well, John Fricke got to talk to Alex Anthopoulos about that last night. I'll tell you what his thoughts were on the old five- or six-man rotation coming back on the other side. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.